produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Let's look at it. Chapter 18. I've talked enough. Chapter 18. When you look at verses 1 through 15, it deals with the son of promise. The son of promise. In my quick notes here, the Lord appeared to Abraham for the third time. You remember, I pointed out to you before, the Lord appeared to Abraham three separate times. There's other times where it said he appeared, but it wasn't appeared in form of a man or in form of a presence. It was through a dream or through a vision. Okay. Well, this is the third time he appeared to Abraham. And you can find that in verse one. It says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees in Mamre. Okay. As he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, which as I explained to you before, that is God's proper name. If you translate this, my Lord, that is Yahweh. They did not put Yahweh or Yah because it was too holy to utter out of their mouths. Okay. My Lord translated Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. Okay. Yahweh. Now, get this. So let's go to our notes. The Lord appeared to Abraham for the third time in verse one. Three men standing before him, as we just read, he says, my Lord. So the three men or three images or forms standing before him, we know that one of them was God, okay? The Most High. And as I said before, get in the habit of saying the Most High or Yahweh. If you just say God, that is not his proper name. That's what he is. That's not who he is. Amen? Okay. Jesus is a translated name. There were no J's in Hebrew. Is Yahshua. Okay? So remember that. Yahshua, to say it quickly. So Yeshua. I keep trying to work on my pronunciations. Yeshua. Okay, the two other men were angels. Okay, we see that in verse 2 and verse 3. The two other men were angels. And I know y'all have some questions about this. So, and I read that. How do we know that they were angels? How do we know that? Because it just says three men appeared. I want you guys to look at look at chapter 18, verse 22, okay? And then, tell you what, flip to 19, verse 1. 19, verse 1. It's just one page over. I'm skipping for a reason. 19, verse 1. How do we know that the other two were angels? How do we know the first was God? Because it said, my Lord, his proper name. How do we know that the other two were angels? Look at 19, verse 1. Now the two, what? Angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. The two angels came. I want you to get in the habit of looking at your references. If you look at your references and do what we call cross-referencing and run your references, if you look at 18 and 22, you have a reference if you have a study Bible or if you have your footnotes at the bottom, it references 19 and 1. If you look at 19 and 1, you'll see a little note. Mine has a C by it. If you look in the column, C references 18 to 22. So they reference back and forth to each other to give you clarity and understanding. So if you are reading your Bible, if you are reading your Bible and you see an alphabet or number there, however your Bible is written, and it's something that you're unclear about, run that reference. Get in the habit of doing that. Run your reference. And it will give you a further explanation of what you just read. Amen? Amen. So the reference told us 19 and 1. So 19 and 1 clearly says two angels. So now, that's our clarification. Okay? One was the image of the Most High. One was God. The other two were angels. So then let's go right along. Abraham asked if they could stay and allow him to feed them. He begged them, and they agreed. So they stayed, and Abraham had a great feast. And as people listening in for the first time, I always tell everyone what chapters to read ahead of time. So that's why I can go this smoothly through the information, because we've already read it during the week. Okay? So if you look at verse 10, it says, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Time of life means 1 year. Okay. 1 year that the earth revolves around the sun, your birthday, 1 year of age, time of life, it's quoted like that, meaning 1 year. Okay. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Verse 10. That's speaking of the son to come, the son of promise, which is Isaac. Okay? Now, we know the story. Verse 12, Sarah laughed because why? They were well past childbearing years. Well past childbearing years. So she laughed in verse 12. But I'm going to tell you what's funny. I had to put this in there. God said, is there anything too hard for God? In response to her laughing, in response to their age. In verse 14, make a note of this. And as we're going through our chapters, I will point out certain scriptures. Those are the scriptures you need to put on your memorization list. Everyone should have a list or a notepad and write certain scriptures down that speak to you. And those are the scriptures you need to memorize. But guess what? If you memorize them in context, as we're going through the chapters, you will have the context, the proper meaning and context of that scripture, and you will be able to remember it. Bouncing all over the Bible trying to memorize scriptures is very hard to do because you never get the meaning, you never get the context. You never know the true meaning of that scripture. Amen? So, make 18 and 14 one of the ones that you remember, to put on your memorization list, okay? Now, Sarah denied laughing because she was afraid. God said, no, you did laugh. God wanted to point out, I know your heart, I know what you do under your breath, and I know your mind, and I know what you're thinking. I love it when the scripture pointed out that God specifically said to Sarah, no, no, you did laugh. So you want to state to us that you didn't laugh. But yeah, you did laugh in your spirit, but there is nothing too hard for God. Verse 14. Okay. Now, let's go to verse 16. 16 through 33, I would recommend everyone get a study Bible because it puts scriptures in groupings and give you a heading to tell you exactly what you're reading. My study Bible says Abraham intercedes for Sodom. Abraham intercedes for Sodom. The men that visited Abraham now head toward Sodom, and Abraham followed them as well. He went with them as well. He was allowed to. Why? Because God wanted Abraham to see everything that he was doing. Why? Because he had established a covenant with Abraham. And since he established a covenant with Abraham to say that he would make his name great and make nations great coming from him, then he wanted him to, since all of this was coming from Abraham, he wanted to make sure that the great patriarch Abraham would see what happens to the people if they don't keep God's word and they're not righteous before God. So God did not want to hide from Abraham what he was about to do to Sodom. He wanted him to see it. And this is an example of what will happen if people do not live righteous before God. Verse 19. Let me pause for a second and read that. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. He wanted to give an example of why your people need to remain righteous and why you need to raise your people to remain righteous. So families, husbands, fathers, we need to raise our people to be righteous. Amen. So the Lord was judging Sodom and Gomorrah because of what? Look at verse 20. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great. Outcry. And because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against them, against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. He wanted to see for himself. They came down. The three came down to see. Now, theologians said this is an example of the Holy Trinity. Giving an example of the Holy Trinity, you can put that in your notes. I didn't put it in the notes because it's a theory, but it's just, you know, an example of the Trinity. They came down to say or to see what exactly was going on for themselves in the earth, okay, which they already knew, but they wanted to see and give that example on earth. Now, I listed for you here, the Lord was judging Sodom and Gomorrah because why? Number one, the outcry of the victims were great. So the people in the cities that were being victimized was crying out. So God had to address it. And the city's sin was so grave, it even specified. Grave. That's about as bad as you can get. Okay? That's why these cities were being judged. Now, the sins were what? What was Sodom and Gomorrah's sins? Okay. It's one, homosexual behavior, first and foremost. Two, neglect of the poor and the needy. Three, pride, self-centered pride. And you say, wait a minute. I don't see that in that. Okay, well, let's run a cross-reference then. Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. If you have a study Bible, it'll list that for you. Or when you're reading through it, it'll give you a cross-reference of Ezekiel 49 and 50. Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. If those of you that are on video, I put it on the screen for you. Okay, look at what it says. Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. Look, comma, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom, meaning sister, meaning like city or joining city. She and her daughter had pride, Sodom and Gomorrah, fullness of food and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor, did not give to the poor or the needy. Did not give to the needy, and they were haughty and committed abominations before me, homosexuality. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. There you go. Well, Reb, how do you see that? It's listed right there in Scripture. Run your cross references. If you see it give you a reference, take a second and look at that reference. Is it some? If it's something you need a little clarification on, okay? Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. He took away entire cities because of homosexuality, neglect of the poor and needy, and pride. Okay? Now, why is that so important? The first thing that God instituted, Adam and Eve, was marriage. And to make the command to be fruitful and multiply. Man and woman, woman and man, nothing else. Whatever thought, this is not my thoughts. And I really try not to give my thoughts. I try to give Bible scripture and theory, okay? Not man and man, not woman and woman. When Satan himself attacked that command, the enemy attacks the commands of God and the promises of God. Remember that. It was to go against the institution of marriage and to go against the command to go be fruitful and multiply. Man to man cannot multiply, woman to woman cannot multiply. Amen? That's all we need to say about that. Let's move on to, so he wiped out an entire city. So should we be, yeah, I know I want to move on, but should we be accepting of that? No. That's an abomination, is listed in scripture. Should we love every individual? Yes. That's where your differentiation comes from. We are to love everyone. We are to pray for them and pray against that sin that they are involved in. Amen? So, moving right along. Verse 23. Abraham began to intercede for Sodom. So, I know you read that, and to say Abraham convinced God to agree to spare the city if 10 righteous people could be found. He actually prayed before God 6 separate times. And I know you read that through scripture. Okay, he went from 50. If God, if you find 50 righteous, how are you going to wipe out a city if you got 50 of your righteous? Okay, well, I won't. Okay, well, how about 45? Okay, Abraham, I won't. Okay, how about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? He got all the way down to 10 to say, God promised and gave his word that I would not wipe out this entire city if I only find 10 that are righteous. What is God doing? The Most High is giving you an example of how merciful he truly is. How merciful he truly is. Amen. Now, why was Abraham so adamant about saving Sodom? Because his kinfolk was there. Lot was living in Sodom. That's why. He was very adamant because if I got down to 10 people, that'll cover Lot, his wife, his daughter's husbands that they are engaged to marry, all of this, it'll cover Lot's household and Lot's people. That's why he stopped at 10. Because now my people are covered. That's just like me pleading to God that my cousins in Mississippi, you got to save Ashland, Mississippi, if you find 10, because I got people there. You see how that works? That's what Abraham was doing. So on this line, we try to get into why things are going on and the explanations for it so that you can understand the Bible. Okay? That covers all of chapter 18. All of chapter 18. So if you have any questions, make a note of it. We always have a great fellowship time after the 7 to 8 o'clock hour. Write that down. Give me input. Give me questions. Let me know anything that I missed. 2 things. Always read the Bible for yourself and always know that there's not just one opinion on this line. I am the teacher or instructor, but God speaks to you just like he speaks to me. So share with me. If I have missed something, I cannot include everything. This is an overview, okay? This is not an overview. This is a detailed listing, but it's not, exhaustive. I can't cover everything, okay? So I only have an hour. Chapter 19. Let's move right along, guys. Chapter 19. I hope I hit all the main points for you there. Chapter 19. You will see that 19 is listed as Sodom's depravity. Depravity is a strong word, and depravity is in the simplest way I can put it, is evil as evil can get. Okay? It is wickedness. It is true wickedness and deprived from righteousness, if you want to say that. It is as far as way as you can get from righteousness, period. So Sodom's depravity. The two angels went to Sodom. Lot was sitting at the gate and rose to meet them, just like Abraham rose to meet the three that came to him. Lot pleaded with them to enter into his house, just like Abraham did. Spend the night and then leave on your way in the morning, but don't go further on into the city. Stay with me, okay? They agreed. So then Lot did the same thing Abraham did. He prepared a feast for them and asked them to stay with him, okay? The men, both young and old, surrounded the house and called Lot and says, bring them, those men, out to us that we may deal with them carnally or know them carnally. You can do all the research you want to do on that. Every single commentary, everything will tell you they want to deal with them in a homosexual way. Okay? That's verse 5, chapter 19. And they called Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. So Lot, verse 6, so Lot went out to them through the door, shut the door behind him. He's trying to protect them and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. Do not do all this wickedness. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you and you may do to them as you wish. My God, only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. I know you shook your head when you read that for yourself. My notes here, Lot went out of the house instead and begged the men to not commit this wicked act. The men refused. Then Lot offered his two virgin daughters to the mob. Wow. Look at this next note. He respected God so much that he would sacrifice one himself. Well, I didn't see that. He went out and closed the door behind him to a mob. Don't miss that. He was willing to sacrifice himself to save the angels. And he was willing to sacrifice his daughters in order to save the angels. Now, a little side note, a little research for you. It was the custom of the day that the host was responsible for any visitor in the home. If you bring someone into your home, you are 100% responsible for them. That's why he said, that's another reason why he said what he said. Now, listen to this. The mob refused Lot's offer, stated he was acting like a judge. And you can see that right in scripture. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. Then they said, this one, Lot, came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we would deal worse with him than with them. So now we about to homosexually rape this man, since he won't give me the men inside the house. Now, why were they so angry? They called him a judge. Why would they call him a judge? He was calling out and judging them for their sin. He was pointing out their sin to them, and they did not like it. That happens today. We as Christians, when we want to talk to people about changing their ways, they get very, very angry, amen, because you're pointing out what they're doing wrong, okay? Now, why do they have that struggle within them when we talk to people? Let me just give you a little tidbit. Because they're still God's creations, and there is still that within them that wants to do right, but they're just living carnally, they're living wickedly, and they don't want to change, okay? That's why they get so angry, because they have that internal struggle, okay? Moving right along. The angels pull Lot back into the house and struck all the men with blindness. You'll find that in verse 10 and verse 11. Saved Lot, pulled him back into the house, and then blinded all the men of the city. So then you see in verse 12 through 29, your next subsection of the chapter says Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Again, get you a study Bible. Get you a study Bible. You will see it broken down into sections. The angels instructed Lot to gather all of his family. I need you really paying attention here. The angels instructed Lot to gather all of his family and take them out of this place, for we will destroy it. They're giving Lot time to gather his family and get out of there. So now God's promise is being fulfilled. If it's just 10, we will save the city. But guess what? All we see is Lot. So we're going to take Lot out of here, and we're going to destroy this city. Okay? We're going to save those, because the base of the promise was, I will not destroy people for innocent people for wicked people. That was the premise of the promise. Okay? So I won't destroy wicked people. I mean, I won't destroy innocent, righteous people, not wicked people. Okay? Y'all forgive me when I misquote things. I have to correct myself. I'm human, y'all. Cut me a little slack, okay? Charge it to my head and not my heart. I just get excited when I'm teaching God's word. So get this point. Lot two son-in-laws did not believe, which proved what they chuckled to themselves. They laughed. They thought it was a joke, which proved them to be unworthy of being saved. They took his words as a joke. Verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But his son-in-laws seemed to be, took him as joking. Wow. I'm trying to save your life and you laugh and you think I'm joking with you. But wait a minute, Rev. You said his daughters was virgins, but now it said that these are his son-in-laws. He had gave his daughters in marriage, but they had not consummated the marriage yet. As you can tell, the daughters were still living in Lot's house. The son-in-laws were not there. They were separate. They were not in Lot's house, nor the daughters were not with their husbands. So they had not consummated the marriage yet. I was like, hold on, Reb, I didn't see all that in scripture. Well, you got to look. You got to read between the lines. You got to take it all into account. It said virgins. It told you that. But now it says they were married. So that means that they had not known their husband sexually yet. So they had not consummated the marriage. Okay? Why? Because it was custom that they go and prepare a place for their wives, and when they are prepared to accept their wives and they have built their household, then the wife joined them. Before that, they stay with the daughter. The daughter stayed with the fathers. That's why you have that. Okay? Just a little tidbit of custom and knowledge. That scripture that we read at funerals all the time, actually that scripture is a wedding scripture. I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will bring you unto myself, and there I am, you shall be also. Actually, the context of that scripture, that's a wedding trip. That is the husband bringing the bride to him after the house is prepared. But Jesus used that as an example as bringing the Christians to him. Just a little tidbit of information. Amen? Amen. You got to know context of when it was written. Let me move on, because I'm going to run out of time today, because I'm really talkative today. I'm sorry, y'all. Okay, let's move right along. So Lot also, now get this. So the son-in-law showed disbelief. So now they're unworthy. So now they're not going. Okay. That's why you don't see them when it says him and his family, the daughters and the wife left. That's why you don't see them being. Now, Lot also showed a little disbelief, because guess what? they didn't leave immediately. Now, if somebody tell me, if an angel come and tell me that this city would be destroyed, that means leave now. But they left the next morning. That's not what God intended. But because of his mercy, he kept the city there until Lot and his family was able to leave. I hope you caught that in your reading, okay? So that was a little disbelief with Lot, a little disbelief there. Verse 15 says, when the morning dawned, look at 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry up, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here in this house, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. I told you to leave yesterday. Why? And, okay, period. And while he lingered, so he's still dragging his feet. The men took, the angels took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hand of the daughters, the Lord being what? Merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside of the city. How many times God got to show his mercy? Leave. You don't leave. You want to leave the next morning, okay? Next morning, leave. You're dragging your feet. The angels grabbed them by their hands and took them out and placed them outside of the city. Now, if you want to get super duper technical, that also sounds like that they picked them up and placed them, you know, like poof. That's what it sounds like. But hey, it doesn't say that, but you can put your own theology to that if you want. Okay, so verse 17, the angels instructed the family not to look back into the city nor stay anywhere in the plain. They were destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, and all of this. So the plain region, they told them don't stay anywhere in the plain. So then, what's my next note? The angels agreed not to overthrow the city of Zoar because Lot and his family was allowed to escape there. Okay, let's look at verse 17 real quick. Verse 17. Or did I already read? Yeah, escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Now look at Lot in 18. Verse 18, then Lot said to them, please, no, my lords. Now, do you think I'm going to be begging with somebody after I didn't save my life? But no, my lords, indeed now, your servant has found favor in your sight, because they didn't save them primarily three times. And now you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to. There goes a city over there, and it is a little city. So please, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the city was called Zoar. How powerful is that? I'm going to destroy the entire plain region. Now you beg me, let me go to Zoar instead of the mountains. Now I'm going to save the entire little city of Zoar. So really, what is that? Isn't that the promise of what God said? I won't destroy it for the sake of that 10. So now because of Lot's family, Zoar is saved. Did you catch that when you was reading it? So now Zoar is saved. So now what is all this an example of? Okay. What is all this an example of? Abraham's people will be saved. Okay. That's an example of Jesus Christ coming to save the earth. When Abraham and Isaac, when we read that, same thing. Lot, his people are saved. Same thing. An example of Jesus Christ. Getting your mind ready that Jesus Christ comes to save the world. Noah, one righteous man, saved his entire family, okay? It's just examples over and over again of the Most High getting your mind ready to accept the coming Messiah. So don't miss that. It's types, it's shadows, it's examples of what is to come. And we know how the story panned out. Lot's wife, let me scroll up. Lot's wife looked back behind him, showing disbelief, and she became a pillar of salt. Disobedience. It's an example of disobedience. Even though we have saved, have salvation right there in front of us, is disobedience. Man. Okay, let's move right along. If you see verse 30, starts the descendants of Lot, and it starts listing those. So now it shows that Lot left Zoar with his two daughters. Now his son-in-law's is not there, okay? He's not there. Now his wife is not there. Now all he has is Lot, and he has his two daughters, which are still virgins, okay? They were married. They was given their hand in marriage, but they had not consummated. So still two daughters, still virgin. I'm saying that for a reason, because later it's going to come into play. Okay. Left Zoar with his two daughters and went to the what? Cave in the mountains. He could have did that the first time. I'm sorry. That's just how my mind thinks. He could have did that the first time when he was instructed to. So now he goes to the mountains. Okay. Now guess what happens? Lot's daughters derive a scheme to preserve their father's lineage, because now they're saying, my father has no sons. And now we have no one. Our husbands are gone. We have no one to continue on the name of our father, which that is the biggest thing ever in this time and still to this day. Still to this day. My son is a junior carrying on that name. I'm carrying on my father's name and his grandfather's name. And it goes on and on and on and on. The daughters take on the name of their husbands. So the daughters were concerned that their father's name or lineage would stop. So what did they come up with? It was totally evil. Totally evil. Look at verse 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made her their father to drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know what she had did when she arose. So, by the notes, I know you read that for yourself, so let me give you the notes on it. Lot's daughters derived a scheme to preserve their father's lineage. They would each take turns on consecutive nights, getting their father drunk, sleeping with their father in order to have sex with their father without him knowing it. This was a sin of drunkenness. This was a sin of incest. Drunkenness and incest were sins in the Israelite custom and Israelite community. Now, they both became pregnant and they both had sons. One, the son was Moab. He is the father of the Moabites that you read about. I'm always trying to give you the lineage because you see these names, so you need to know where they come from, okay? Now, Ben Ammi, A-M-M-I, if I'm pronouncing it correct, he is the father of the Ammonites, Ammon or Ammonites. Both of those would become enemies or war with the Israelites. They came about through sin and through evil, so they are a wicked line or evil line, not the chosen line, so they would both be enemies of the Israelites. Now, as a little side note, I forgot to put it in the notes. This is not just my thought. It is a thought that I've read and researched on multiple times. It is believed that also the daughters had, well, I just said how I read it. The per one of their purposes was to get back at their father because of what he did in Sodom. He offered to give them to a mob and let them be misused over a mob, which who knows how many men was out there. To save the angels, he gave up his daughters, or offered to give up his daughters. Imagine how the daughters felt. So there is specific research that says part of their reasoning for doing this evil thing was to get back at their father and to shame their father. Get them to be drunk, get them to commit the sin of drunkenness, and then lay with their father and continue his lineage. Now, his proud lineage now is a wicked lineage. And the two daughters did it out of spite. That's a theory. You can do the research on yourself and see what you come up with. Okay? Chapter 20. Let's move right along. Chapter 20. Oh, my God, I did some talking. I got about 10 minutes. Chapter 20. It speaks of Abraham and Abimelech. Okay? Abraham and Abimelech. Abraham journeyed to Gerar, and he stayed there. So now Abraham is moving, okay? Once again, what did Abraham do, guys? Abraham lied again on his wife, or with his wife. Now, I would never do this, but Abraham lied to the king of Gerar named Abimelech. Once again, you remember he did this before, okay? Once again, stating that Sarah was his sister, and not his wife. Why? Because he feared that he would be killed in order to take his wife. So let's just make it simple and plain. Sarah was a good-looking sister, okay? Because multiple times he was afraid that his wife was so good-looking that when they went to other nations or countries, the king would kill him and take his wife. So this had to be a good-looking woman. Amen, amen. It's in the scripture. Don't blame me. It's in the scripture. Okay? He said the same thing to the previous Pharaoh. So now Abimelech the king took Sarah as his wife. Now, was he lying? No, because Sarah was his half-sister. He was. Sarah was his half-sister. But Sarah was his wife, period and point blank. So, but the Lord stepped in again and prevented him from having sex or consummating the union with her, meaning Abimelech could never touch Sarah. Why? Because Sarah had to remain pure to her husband. So the Lord had to preserve his promise concerning Sarah. Sarah was so, so very important. And we don't give Sarah enough credit or enough importance. Abram's name was changed to Abraham, but Sarai's name was changed as well when she was given that purpose. She would be a mother of nations. God could not let her be touched by someone else. So then what did he do? The Lord caused every woman of the house of Abimelech to be temporarily sterile. You'll find that in verse 18. Cursing the house of Abimelech. Then the Lord told Abimelech that he was a dead man if he ever touched Sarah, or if he did not return this woman to her husband. Wow. Wow. What you think the Lord thinks about adultery? Ooh, Rev, why did you have to slide that in there? Because we gonna slide principles in every time we talk scripture, okay? The Lord forgave Abimelech. Why? Because he had no prior knowledge, due to the fact that he was unaware of the situation, okay? I'm always going to slide in, why was this happening? Look at this. Why is it happening? Question mark, question mark. Verse 14. So look at 20, verse 14, and we're going to keep it moving. Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to who? Abraham. And he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where in it you please. Why is God doing all of this? It's the same thing he did with the Pharaoh. It's the same thing he's doing now. What do I keep telling you guys? He's building the nation. At this section, he's building the people. He told Abraham, I will make you great, make you abundantly wealthy. I'll make you the father of all nations. He's just growing the wealth and building the wealth of Abraham. Nobody else in these sets of books, nobody else matters. It's only the line of Israel. Everybody else is collateral damage. Everybody else is onlookers. Everybody else is just there to solidify what he's doing with the nation of Israel. They're just innocent bystanders, okay? So now he's building wealth. He's giving them people. He's giving them servants. He's giving them cattle. He's giving them all these things to make him more wealthy, okay? So now all of this is building. That's why this story is in there, okay? That's why that happened. Moving right along, chapter 21. If I can get 21 in, I think I'm good. Chapter 21. I should have got 22 in as well. But chapter 21, Isaac is born. Okay, I know y'all read this already, so let me just go with my notes, okay? Isaac is born. Now we got Abraham, now we got Isaac. God gave them a son, Isaac, named him Isaac, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. They was past childbearing years. You will find that in 21, verse 1 through 5, okay? God had to show everyone and everyone around that he was in control of making Abraham into a great nation. So he waited until they were past childbearing years. Then he gave them a son, okay? So everybody knew it was God who did it. Now, Abraham circumcised Isaac at 8 days old. Why? Because you remember last session we pointed that out? As a command by God to be a sign of the covenant. The Abraham or Abrahamic covenant, okay? If you want to look back at that, look back at chapter 17, verse 9 through 14 is where we talked about that last time, okay? Now, when we move on to verse 9, it says, Hagar and Ishmael departed. Who was Ishmael? That was Abraham's firstborn son, but not the son of promise. Sarah got impatient and gave her handmaid, her servant, to her husband as a surrogate mother. Then they had Ishmael. But God said, that's not what I told you. Now, let's move right along. Sarah saw Ishmael persecuting Isaac, okay? Persecuting him. Look at verse 9. In verse 10, Sarah went to Abraham and said, cast out Hagar and her son Ishmael, because they are persecuting my son, the one that I had. So Abraham did not want to do it. Why? Because Ishmael is still his son. It's his firstborn son. He don't want to do that. But verse 12 says, Abraham did not want to cast out his son from the household. But God spoke to him, I'm paraphrasing, and informed him to listen to the voice of his wife. Now that's powerful. That's powerful. Men, husbands, they're not just men, husbands. Your helpmate is there for a reason. Listen to the voice of your wife. If she has prayed on it and she's given you something that God has spoken to her, listen to the voice of your wife. Moving right along. Verse 13, God said that he would make a nation of Ishmael as well. I will grow you as well. Why? Because I still need more people to do my commandment to populate this earth, to go ye be fruitful and multiply. So I still need other people. So because he came from you, go ahead and I'm gonna make him a nation as well. That's not the chosen nation, but it will be a nation, okay? Don't get that confused. So after leaving the home and wandering in the wilderness of Beersheba, they almost died. We remember that story. Hagar felt herself about to die, and her son was about to die, the child. So she put the child under a tree in the shade in the desert. because and walked off from him because she did not want to hear her son cry and die. Okay? So, an angel appeared to Hagar and showed her a well of water to spare their lives. Okay? So Ishmael, to spare their lives. Then the ending of that says that their life was spared. God was making a nation from them as well, from Ishmael. But now Hagar went on, ventured on to Egypt. Her life was saved. Ishmael's life was saved. Now she chose a wife for her son out of Egypt. So now Ishmael's wife was chosen. He has an Egyptian wife, not a wife from the line of Adam, from Abraham. Okay? Make sure to make that distinction. Yes, a nation will come from Ishmael as well, but is mixed with the Egyptian line. Okay? Hopefully you caught that. Moving right along. There was a covenant with Abimelech, with Abraham and Abimelech. Okay? Abimelech knew for sure that God was with Abraham because now he's seeing all these things. So Abimelech asked Abraham to make an oath that he would never deal falsely with him. Don't destroy me now. Don't fight against me. Don't raise up against me and destroy me. Okay? So Abimelech, as a king, you know, okay, I don't want you to destroy me. So let's become friends. Let's become a covenant with each other. So Abraham agreed to this oath. You will find that in verse 23 and 24. For the sake of time, just read that. I know you already read it, but read it again, okay? Verse 25, but then it was strange because Abraham checked Abimelech or questioned him about a well of water. Why? Because his men, Abimelech's men, his troops had seized this well. Abraham wanted it back. So Abraham gave Abimelech, when you see that written in there, it says, Abraham gave Abimelech sheep and oxen as a gift to establish the covenant. I will not destroy you. Okay? But then, after he checked him about the well, or questioned him about the well, Abraham, in his niceness, gave an additional 7 lambs as an agreement of the well. So now, don't touch this well as well, and we are fine. So then Abraham worshiped the Lord and is quoted as everlasting God. That's what he called him. At the end of chapter 21, he worshiped him and called him the everlasting God. You will find that in 33, okay? Verse 33, right before 34. That is powerful. That is powerful. It is 8:01, but 22 is very, very short. Very short, guys. Let me jump on this so we can get it. Abraham's faith was confirmed again. Okay, God tested his faith by telling him to sacrifice his son on the Mount Moriah, 22:1-19. Let me make sure to say this. Why do you always see that the custom is you have the father and the firstborn son gets the blessing, or the lineage goes through, or the blessings go through the firstborn son, but you see things like Ishmael not getting it and then Isaac getting it? You will see that again later, remember? So in the next generation, why? You see it with Cain and Abel, okay? One was passed over. It's because God was establishing, I know the heart, I know the thoughts. When no one else knows it, I know it. So I will handpick who I want the blessings to go through and not deal with man's custom. Somebody asked me that question. Let me make sure to answer that. He would deal with the heart of man. He knew Cain's heart. So that's why he didn't accept the sacrifice. So now he's jumping over Ishmael to Isaac. And you will see that over and over again. He passed him over. Love that word, Passover. Passed him over and gave the blessing to the second born, the son of promise. So now God tested his faith by telling him to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. Chapter 22, verse 1-19. So in verse 5, Abraham said, the lad and I will go yonder and worship as it was going to the mount, and we will come back to you. Man, that's faith. That's faith. Abraham believed God, but he believed that God will raise Isaac from the dead to still fulfill the covenant, because he know God is no short of his word. So why could a father go and sacrifice his son, his firstborn son? Because God had already told him, Isaac is the son of promise, and the covenant will flow through you and through Isaac. So he said, well, all this is true, and I trust God, then God got to raise him from the dead after I fulfilled the command that God told me to do. Amen. Trust and believe God, my brother, my sister. So, verse 7, Isaac asked his father, Father, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? We got everything else, but we don't have the lamb. We got the wood, we got the fire, we got everything else. Verse 8, Abraham's reply to his son was, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Okay? God stopped the act in mid-stride and told Abraham, now I know. Don't touch that son. Stop with that knife. I know that you fear God and God alone, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Why? Because God would not withhold his only son on Calvary for us. Amen. He's always giving examples of Jesus Christ. So God provided a sacrifice, a ram in the bush. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, is what it is stated. And that's the same location as Jesus sacrificed 2,000 years later. The same mount, people. God was given an example of Jesus on Calvary, Golgotha, Mount Moriah. Amen. The same place. We miss that sometimes. It's the same place. So verse 20 through 24 speaks of the family of Nahor. Why is that important? The only thing I'm going to point out about that is that this section introduces Rebekah. It gives you the genealogy. I tell you this over and over again, so that it can be traced through history, and that authenticates the Bible, because it can be proven historically and through through genealogy. It can be proven. So it gives the genealogy of Nahor, because that's where you have Rebekah, and Rebekah is going to be the future wife of Isaac. Amen. That's it. 8:06, but I started about 4 minutes after, so forgive me, but I still went for just 1 hour. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, so, so very much for coming on. God honors your time. God honors your sacrifice. My prayer, most gracious Heavenly Father, is that you bless each and every person on this line with a special blessing, that they have taken time out. You say obedience is better than sacrifice. Your word declares that we are to study your word and hide it in our heart, so that we will never depart from you or depart from your word, and that we may be obedient unto you. So, Father God, I just pray a special blessing upon them, each and every man, each and every woman, each and every boy, each and every girl, and their families and their households are blessed. Father God, we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That will conclude this session. All of our sessions are on YouTube. Search my YouTube channel, Corey Evans Sr., Corey Evans, Sr., S-R, and my channel will come up. That's the name of it, is my name. The previous four sessions are already on there. Go back and catch what you missed. Feel free to share the channel. Feel free to share the notes, screenshot the notes. Tell everybody you know, hey, come on, because Back to Basics Bible Study is just that. We're teaching the Bible, nothing else, okay? This is just to help you understand the Bible, and when we finish, you will be able to think through the Bible chapter by chapter, book by book. Amen. May God bless you and keep you as my prayer. I will stop the recording at this point, and then everyone that wants to stay on in fellowship, you can stay on in fellowship. I will keep it open at this time. And
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. 1-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.